There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today, we're going to talk about doubt. You know, when we're doing this LOA stuff, we're pretty much getting into it because we think it's going to fix our lives and make everything perfect and unicorns and rainbows and all that stuff. And it isn't always like that. And how come? If we're conscious creators and we're creating the lives that we like, and we know all this stuff about law of attraction and universal laws and how physical reality works, and we're putting it into practice and we're thinking positive thoughts and we're doing all these positive things and we're choosing a higher perspective and we're giving people the benefit of the doubt and we're expressing our love and we're allowing everyone to be as they are and we're trying to be authentic, and then shit hits the fan. And we're like, how does shit hit the fan if we're doing all this stuff? Shouldn't the fan be free of shit, basically?
A shit-free fan.
Yeah. So this subject has been coming up this week and in all kinds of different ways, shapes, and forms. For me, I had a big manifestation event. Kyle's in the middle of one. People are having doubts. Does this stuff work? Are we delusional? That was a question that came in last week. Are we delusional? Are we delusional or are they delusional, right? And sometimes it seems like we're delusional because here we are going the complete opposite of how everyone else is living. And what's the end game? What's the point of it all?
Yeah.
Does anyone know?
No.
On the round table today, let me introduce you guys if anyone doesn't know who you are. We have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Now we're done with that.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
So.
That was. Supposedly, it's feeling good, right?
Yeah, supposedly. That's right.
Yeah, feeling good. All this shit. Air
you want crap. Yeah.
And feel good or something.
Just maybe. You'll feel good for a few minutes.
Okay.
Just maybe.
I'm going to share my manifestation event. And just to show you how little I've grown in 4.5 years. The proof to you all that. All right.
This
so
doesn't work.
Things are going good. Things are going great, right? I find this beautiful house in North Carolina. It's like unbelievable. It's everything I've always wanted. It's the thing I've dreamed about. And everything's going good. Then I find this commercial building and a lot of fun on that. But things are different in North Carolina. Fine. I've been doing real estate in Florida for a long time, so I sort of know how things are going. But then you go up there, it's a little bit different. So I get an inspection on my house, and it's $595, which for us is really expensive. It's like $400 here. And then it's another $50 because it's an historic home, so it's $650. Okay, I pay it, no big deal. So then I go and get this commercial property that costs $100,000. And it's just basically a commercial property. You know, there's nothing to it. It's not like a house. There's no bathrooms. There's no, you know, there's no garages. There's no basement. There's no attic. There's none of that stuff. It's just two-floor commercial building. And so the realtor goes, you want an inspection? I said, yeah, why not? So the inspector comes out. They do all this stuff. And they send me the bill. It's $1,000.
Oh, my God.
And... You know, so it's 1% of the whole value of the building, right?
Wow.
Okay, mention that up front, you know. And he can't get into the first floor because the tenants aren't there that day he comes there. And so it's locked. So he's not even inspecting the first floor, right? And it took him three or four hours to do it. So I'm like, okay, so that's $250 an hour. Is that really a real thing? Is that a real thing?
You know? Wow.
And so I'm like going back and forth. And so I say, okay, you know, this is fine. I just have a couple questions. You know, how come you didn't tell me? I had to figure out that they didn't do the first floor. It wasn't, I couldn't see it on the report. It turns out it was the very last thing in the small print. We didn't inspect the first floor. But, you know, I'm like, how come you didn't tell me that it was more expensive? I mean, how would I know it was more expensive? Because that, the only experience I ever had was this other inspection I did. And then, why is it more expensive, right? And so he never even answered me. The realtor did, who ordered it. She's like, I'm so sorry about the confusion, and I'll pay half of it. I said, no, I don't want you to pay anything. I want this guy to tell me why it's more expensive and why he didn't tell me. So, right, that's all resistance. All that is resistance. And I've been resisting this for 3 days, and I'm going to end up paying it, right? You know? But I could have paid it the first day and said, okay, well, that was just, you know, next time ask. That's all I had to do. Instead of blame this other guy for overcharging me or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here I am knowing all this stuff, teaching this stuff, and not putting it into practice when it's so obvious.
So, have you been – so what are you doing with the – like are you beating up on yourself a little bit for having that resistance? Like are you like – does is that making it worse?
So, yeah, half of the time I'm like, this is bullshit. They shouldn't charge me for this. And then my – you know, then I get this conversation going on.
Does that – yeah.
Nonstop in my head.
Welcome to my world.
Hey, this is resistance. Don't worry about it. You know, this is a manifestation event. You're here to learn. It's $1,000. Who cares? You know, it's like $500 more than what you had before. This money thing that you have going on is not a real thing. You know, you're making it a real thing. It's just, you know, it's just digits on paper or on the computer. You know, it isn't a real thing. It's not, you know, you're not saving anything by saving $500. What you're doing is telling the universe that you're doubtful of your abundance, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I say, I'll do that, but can I just get a couple $100 discount? I think I can get a discount in this, you know. And like, just pay it. Just get it over with and pay it. You know? No, but they're wrong, and they might do this to other people. Voices. And maybe I should sue them, you know.
But, you know, this is so good. It's so good because it's taking you to the next level, you know, that this is why this shit comes up. It's taking you to the next level to process so that you can even get better with your abundance thing. Totally. So it kind of tests it,
it
makes you process it.
Makes me think about it. So
think about it.
Okay, so here's what the difference is. 4.5 years ago, I would have been adamant and just kept battling this stuff, right?
All right.
Without looking inside and seeing how I'm responsible for creating this. I would completely put it off on other people and the conditions. And I would say it is absolutely right to be upset, you know, at these people who did this to me. And in doing that, I'm a victim. And at least now I say, I created this, but yet they did this to me. So I'm at least halfway there, right? Somewhere in the middle of that. At least I see how I'm creating it, even though it's wrong.
You know? Yeah.
But, you know, I know, it's not wrong.
Yeah.
I know it on a, you know, inside level. And so now it's how do I interact with my old world and my new world at the same time?
That's
a good manifestation event. And it shows me that I've come a long way and that I'm never going to be over these things. It'll keep – this sort of thing will keep coming up. But every time it comes up, I'll see it a little bit more internally, you know, and a little less externally. And I'll see myself more as a creator and less as a victim.
Yes.
And this question we have from Alette today really talks about that. I think it was just amazing how this came through. And there's a key point to the answer that the reason that we – I don't want to give away too much, but there is a reason that, you know, we have these fears and this love and why that is. Because Joshua will say in this letter that we tend to want to figure everything out and to have it figured out. And we keep saying, if only this was like that, then I'd feel good. Right?
Yeah.
We could
I just thought something.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
We all point to something and say, if only
that person was like this, then my whole life would be great.
Yeah, right.
But that's never going to happen. All of us have that. There's not one human being that doesn't have that somewhere.
You know,
right? Unless they're living alone in a cabin.
You ever heard that song? This is a song that never ends.
Is that what this is, Wendy? That's what this is.
So it's interesting, too, that we're explorers. The reason we're here is to discover who we are, and that's uncharted territory. And so we can't know how it's going to turn out, because if we knew how it's turned out, we would. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of this, which I'm giving away.
If we knew how it's turning, may we turn around? Is that what you're saying?
But as explorers, we always think we're going to get to the finish line, like Lewis and Clark. They kept going until they got to the Pacific. Well, we're never getting to the Pacific. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, we do. We hit little milestones. We hit milestones.
Yeah. We hit beautiful scenic vistas that no one has ever seen before. And then we go into deserts and have to cross them to get to the next
one. And then we hit the Pacific and we got to start swimming.
But then the scenery becomes better and better, and there's less desert and there's less desert and there's less hills. And I think it does get better and better. But – you know, I was thinking about, there's something to be said for when you're in that, Gary, like in a manifestational event. I think, and let's talk about this, there might be something to be said for just going with it, going with the resistance and letting it, you know, and allowing yourself to just kind of get mad maybe and do it. I mean, of course, we don't want to go crazy with it and we want to check it, but maybe, and then being able to process it a little bit later. But there's, because then it's a tug of war, because you don't want to get deep into the resistance, but you also want to allow yourself to be you too.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk more about that. So who I really am is this magnificent, limitless being of love and acceptance, right? I am confident and have faith that things are going to work out, and I don't worry about anything, right? That's who I really am, this thing of love. And I'm here to express love, right? So when I feel fear, that's not who I am.
Right.
And so I can stay in fear for a second, an hour, a day, a week, a month. And I can take this fear and push it all the way to the limits. I could call a lawyer and start suing this company. And I could write bad reviews on Google. I can go in and in. I can report them to this, you know, whatever licensing board they have. I can go crazy with that. It could never, you know, I can go on forever. Or I can just say, my bad, and get back to who I am. I'm expressing love.
But what if you're not there? What if you're not there at my bad? What if you're not able to just...
So the work then is to get to who you are as quickly as possible, and to realize as quickly as possible that all the stuff that you're doing in fear are urges. I knew these were urges coming from this lower emotional state of being. When I had this urge to write a bad review or to call a lawyer or to type out the two or three emails I typed out, I knew those were urges. And I knew they were not leading me to where I want to be. I want to live in harmony in the community. I don't want to have a bad relationship with my realtor who referred me to these people, she's known them for years. This is not going to do me any good whatsoever.
But do you understand that the as quickly as getting back to it as quickly as possible, that could be resistance too, and that could even add on.
I don't see how that's resistance.
Well, I see what Mark's saying.
Okay, I'll give you an example. So let's say I'm depressed, and I know that I should be happier.
Okay, no. Let's talk about a manifestation event. A depression is a completely different thing here. I understand that you should feel your emotions. But if you are saying that something happened in your reality, let me finish real quick. If you're saying that something happened in your reality, which is what I'm saying, is wrong. I'm saying that guy is wrong, right? And I'm feeling negative emotion. The reason I'm feeling negative emotion is because my inner self is saying that guy is right, that there is nothing wrong, that this is a manifestation event, so that you can discover a limiting belief. And my limiting belief is that
– I get this.
Right? And so what I need to do is process that limiting belief, not to sit there and wallow in fear that stuff.
Okay, so I'll use your example. But let's say you're a little bit different. Let's say you're a year or 2 years older back then, Gary, where you wouldn't be processing it so easily. So let's say you're not really able, but you still notice that you shouldn't be in this resistance, but you're not able to process it, and you're not able to reach for better thoughts. So then you just judge yourself for being there, and that's adding resistance to it. And then you're beating up on yourself for having this resistance. That can spiral as well too.
Now, for you,
you don't feel that now because it's not such a hard thing, and you can process it.
You're absolutely right. I do feel that I should know better, and I should be better. Mm-hmm. And so that part of it, you're absolutely right, is that the part of me that's judging myself for not getting out of this quicker. And I realize that too. And so I don't do it too much, but there is some of that in there for sure. And I totally agree with you that the judging yourself for being wrong is not helpful at all. Right. That you can say, hey, let's play with this idea more. You know, it's not wrong to be in resistance. Let's play with this idea and see, so I can prove to myself that the resistance is not beneficial to me. It's not doing anything good for me. But let's go in. Let's see if it does anything, you know? And you do that a number of times. But I think the point here is, as long as you're introspective and thinking about how you feel rather than saying 100% that guy's wrong. When you take them, so in reality, it's 100% my creation, and I'm 100% responsible for everything that happened. When she says, do you want an inspection? I thought, no, I don't. Because I know enough about the building, right? But yet the fear says, well, let's just do it just in case, you know? Mm-hmm. And that moment was where I let fear create a decision. And now it's back in this manifestation event because I'm tied back to that decision. And so I can say I'm wrong for making that bad decision. You know, no, I just let fear make the decision. Okay, that's going to happen. Big deal. You know, go on. But true. If you beat up on yourself, then you got three things going. You got the fear. You got the knowing what's right, and you got the judgment.
It's
so much fun.
But that's the thing. It can be, going back to the Lewis and Clark analogy and like us being explorers and what we're doing here. I feel best when I remember that this is all an adventure, that, you know, that takes the self-judgment out of it. Like imagine if Lewis and Clark were going from one side of the continent to the other and we're like, oh man, it's raining. What if it rains tomorrow? What if it rains the entire way? You know, but they're like, oh my God, what are we going to see next? I wonder what's over that mountain.
Yeah.
I
don't know. That's another part of that story is that they got there. So the going there is always discovering this new stuff, you know, and they always thought they were going to discover a river that would take them there. And they get there and they, you know, how cool the Pacific Northwest is. And then they have to come back. The coming back part's probably not fun at all. But then when they got home, they were praised for a while. And then both their lives completely fell apart. I think one of them killed himself, you know. And,
okay.
Yeah. You know, because they had no more exploration to do.
That's the Lewis and Clark analogy.
Well, they were stopped exploring.
Disregard.
You can't stop exploring.
Don't explore. Get home. Stay in your home. Lock the doors. Don't explore.
No. You can explore, but you can't stop exploring.
Uh-huh.
It's not the accolades that you get for reaching the peak, it's the journey up the peak. Oh my! I should write some quotes. Put them on Facebook.
Gary
that was
said.
Brilliant.
Put them on a T-shirt.
That's funny. Yeah, well, and I've found too that these little things just keep popping up. It's like if your thing is around abundance, guess what? You're going to get all kinds of things around abundance. If your little thing is a loss of love, guess what? You're going to get lots of love at manifestation events for you to play with.
Exactly.
And I guess
that's why it's so important how we are treating ourselves during that journey, during the process. Yeah. That's why that's hugely important, because then we could be a freaking mess. Like, why does this keep coming up for me? I thought I was over it. What's going on with me? This is bullshit. It's like all this stuff, it's not what happens to us. It's what we tell ourselves about what's happening to us that can be really the spiral.
Oh, that's another T-shirt, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not what's happening to us. It's what we tell ourselves that's happening to us.
About what's happening to us. Yeah.
So that's the perspective. That's the limited perspective or the higher perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a spiral, kind of like the Wizard of Oz spiral.
It's like
and
a
the
spiral.
House is flying away.
The spiral is the momentum.
Yeah.
So it's
that's
the momentum up or momentum down. And I think that's what Abraham says, is that it's so much easier to stop the momentum in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so I'm spiraling down this resentment towards this inspection company, but I could have stopped it right in the beginning.
Yeah, and Abraham also says, when you catch yourself, she said something about like it's like catching a fox going after chickens and they have egg on their face. So I don't know. Let me see. I'm trying to put it together why she said that. But she's like, she says, when you catch yourself, just it's okay. Oh, it's okay. And you know, I'm kind of. In other words, put a smile on it when you catch yourself. Like, yeah, I could have caught it in the beginning, and I could have, you know, that's okay. I'm doing okay, and what's happening now? So it's the way – it's how gentle we are with ourselves or how hard we are on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's no benefit to being hard on yourself, right? Yeah.
No.
Is there any benefit to it?
No.
I know from personal experience, no.
Yeah.
No.
Like, what is the benefit to being – hard on yourself. You think you're
going to
punish yourself and correct it in the future?
No, the benefit is you get migraines, you get body pain. There's the benefit. It's wonderful.
I think, but there could be some benefit if you can take the self-judgment out of it, out of being honest with yourself about like patterns and ways of being, you know.
I think being honest is great, but I don't think that's being hard.
Yeah.
You know, honestly,
there is a benefit once in some, after some perspective. Like if I was hard on myself 10 minutes ago, there's benefit from it as I look back and go, wow, I was really hard on myself. Right. Mm-hmm. And I should treat myself better. And so just from that awareness, there is perspective after, but during, I don't know.
You know, our society is built around punishment. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to punish ourselves thinking that punishment is going to do something to change our behavior. And that has the opposite effect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because you make yourself feel less worthy if you punish yourself.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
I like to play Dexter's game of what if. It's like I've had a hell of a week, guys. And there's a couple times it's just like, okay, what if? What if that is what's going to happen? What if?
Yeah.
I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, it's for a reason. It's for me somehow. Now my goal is to figure out how is this for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've probably had these weeks. Like imagine 10 years ago. You just take an average week 10 years ago. What were you going through 10 years ago? You can't even remember it now, but guarantee you there was some shit going on 10 years ago. Just like there is now. But it seemed like such a big deal then, and in hindsight, there was nothing. And I keep saying to myself, in a week, you're not even going to remember this. In a year, you're not going to remember this for sure. You know, this idea of this, the only time I'll ever remember this is next time I get an inspection. Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, and it's also an interesting thing that this was such a big deal, and all it is a couple $100, but I took it such, why was this such a big deal? I mean, how great it is to have a life where this is the big deal.
Right. And how nice is it to be able to have that opportunity to show your abundance? I've had a couple instances come up like that where it's like I donated some money or I left a tip or something. And afterwards I thought, why didn't I give more? And it's like that mentality of just like, oh, I don't have enough. I have enough in order to come from that place of being able to enjoy your abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if, you know, it all comes from us living so long on this other approach to life of control, control, control. So we're controlling everything that goes out. And now we're living in this approach that's all based on faith.
Yeah. So, you know, I just thought of Gary, like, it's easy. Like, you wouldn't have this manifestational event if you weren't kind of going for it and buying properties and starting your adventure. If you were just staying at home, you know, you wouldn't, it wouldn't be. So whenever you step out and you start these ventures, shit's going to pop up.
Yeah. Whenever you know, do stuff, shit will pop up for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go to find a quote? Let's just find a random quote, Mark.
Here we go. You ready?
Here we go.
You can see the book, right?
Don't do one we've ever read before, though.
I hope somebody's been keeping track of them.
I'll check my list.
I get complaints. Oh, my God. You did that in episode 14. You know.
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember why I walked into the kitchen, let alone what we talked about in episode 14.
Yeah. I may buy that one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. All right.
As opposed to the others that are like, what, average?
Yeah. The other ones are awful, but this is pretty good.
Okay.
No, just kidding. All right. You are not your persona. You are not really who you think you are. You are far more than that. You have far more to offer. You are far more powerful than you think. You are as worthy as any who have ever lived, and you have the ability to access infinite intelligence, and leverage the powers of the universe in any way you see fit. You are the creator of your life, and you can adopt complete control over the quality of your life. You are responsible for everything in your reality. There is no fate or luck. It is all created by you. You have all the power.
Mm. Yeah, perfect. That doesn't sound true.
It's perfect for me. I did a power meditation just this morning. So.
No, it's true. When I look at everyone from my perspective now, I see the potential of everyone. You know, and then I can also see how they're holding themselves back. And, you know, it's one, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You can see someone's potential and you can maybe say something. But if you give an unsolicited advice, all you're doing is highlighting what you think is wrong with that person.
Mm. You know? But what if it could help that person, like, get
it
over that?
Because they can't see it if you say it from a, you know, it may make them have a negative response to it and say, you know, and they can discover a limiting belief. But if they're not a vibrational match to who they really are and that version of them, they can't even see it, right? From their perspective, that person doesn't exist. From my perspective, I can see it. From their inner self's perspective, their inner self knows it, you know. Mm-hmm. I can see it. It's like when I renovate a house, I can see where walls should be moved and stuff like that. And I can see people where they're struggling or where if they could just see themselves, you know.
Right.
That same thing. If the only difference between you and your destiny is how you see yourself.
Yes.
And the idea of helping, one of the first questions that I sent him, even just through the website before the one-on-one, Joshua was talking about how the idea of helping someone is, like you said earlier, just perceiving a lack in them, the idea that they even need help, that they're not, you know, perfect on their path right where they are.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
I love giving advice.
Makes me feel superior. I've got all the answers.
Right.
Yes,
I've been working on that one, man. I've been working on that one for years. I'm better.
We're all teachers.
But see, where's the fine line between teaching and trying to control?
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
It's when if okay, go ahead, Kyla.
I was just going to say, with the act of giving advice, that's something that I've been noticing that I did a lot and have been doing less and less. But now I notice that the advice that I'm giving is really advice for me, because I'm looking at this other person through my filter of human experience and projecting my shit onto them and telling them what I think I should, you know, or what I think they should do based on everything that I know. So I've started, when I am giving advice, I catch myself and I listen to it and I realize that's for me. So then I take my own advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the way that's well, to learn anything, you teach it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's a good rule. It's just unless they ask you. Yeah. And even then, you gotta tread lightly, even if they ask you. But I'm trying to do that.
For sure.
Unless they ask.
And then turn it around and say, well, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I was just going to say that about Mark. That's one of the things I love about Mark is he a lot of times just asks questions and, like, guides people to figure it out themselves.
You know what, Mark? You should be a life coach.
That's a novel idea.
You'd be really good.
Who am I to be a life coach?
I am worthy.
Tap it in.
Tap.
I am worthy.
Tap it.
I'd like to give a shout out to Sweden. Ooh. We have a bunch of listeners in Sweden. I just saw.
Go Sweden.
Yeah.
Go Sweden.
10% of our 6 million audience is in Sweden, and I don't think Sweden even has 600,000 people, does it?
Probably. 6 million.
Excuse me, Sweden, for saying that. You probably have millions of people.
6 million.
What's up, Sweden?
Yo.
Get in the house.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right, let's go on with our question of the week from Alette. Let's see here. Okay. Wendy, you want to read for Alette?
Sure. Dear Joshua, I need a pep talk. I feel as if I simply do not get it, even though I think I do. I really want to give up control, but how? I have faith, or at least I think I do, that things are working out for me. For instance, instead of worrying what will happen with my mom once she is done in the rehabilitation home, I trust that everything will work out perfectly. I have no idea how it feels to be who I really am, because the one I am now is the only me I know. I don't know how my inner self sees me. I don't even know who my inner self is and where it's located. I take your word for it that I actually have an inner self. You say, if you had no fear, if you were confident, you would attract other thoughts. Hello, I want to be fearless and confident and to attract happy and confident thoughts. But this night I woke up feeling fear because I know that one of the coming months I will have to graduate from the one-on-one and I'll be on my own again. I've yet to feel or hear all those millions you and everyone talk about. Right now, it feels as if I'm the only one my own universe having to cope all by myself. So you see, I really need a pep talk. With love, Alette. Man, I feel it.
You guys don't hear your millions constantly chattering in your head?
Well, I thought those were crazy people. Alette, it's just listen to the crazy people. But that's good for her, because I think that a lot of people have the same feeling. And for me, it goes in phases, comes and goes.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kylie, you want to read for Joshua?
Sure. Dear Alette, if you are aware of a negative or positive emotion, then you are aware of your inner self. If you had no emotions, that would mean you had no inner self. The basis of your guidance system is your interaction in every moment of your life with your inner self. The instant you feel anything, you are aware of the presence of a loving side of you. That is your inner self.
Okay, so the first thing we know is our inner self exists because of our emotional guidance system. So the second you have a giggle, a laugh, well, that's because you're feeling good and you are looking at your life the same way your inner self is. And the second you feel negative emotion, you're looking at your life in a way that is off track from how your inner self is seeing it. So without your inner self, you wouldn't have emotions, right? So just think of it that way. So that's how you know you have an inner self.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, you may not listen to your inner self because you may suppress or ignore your emotions. Or it may come so often and all the time that you don't really think about them that much, you know. But when you start feeling good, you start to really notice your emotions. And that's why it's weird, because I get more intense negative emotions about stupid stuff now than I ever did 5 years ago. And that's only because you're used to feeling better.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And I like stomp around like a child. Like I stomp into little, pissed off and have a little temper tantrum, and then I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next one.
To know your inner self is to know that you are never alone. You could not feel good or bad without the ever-present one who loves you unconditionally and is with you every step of the way and in every moment from birth to death. You are being guided through your life. You know that when you feel good, you are in agreement with this non-physical side of you who simply sees your life from a higher perspective. You know that when you experience negative emotion, that is the loving message that comes from your inner self, reminding you that you have chosen a perspective that is not helpful. You have lived your entire life assuming you were alone. Here you are, learning that you have never been alone, and so now you must rethink everything.
That's the big thing is, I think these teachings mainly teach you about how emotions work and what they are and that they're guidance. And if you didn't know they were guidance, then you just assume that the conditions themselves make you feel good or bad.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be living a physical life? It means you have chosen to come forth and experience something that has never been experienced by anyone else in the history of life. It is a completely new experience. That makes you an explorer. What are you exploring? All the experience of life as perceived by Alette at this time on Earth in physical reality. Think of yourself as an astronaut exploring space. They do not send astronauts out into space with no support, do they? There are lots of supporters back on Earth monitoring their every move and are aware of every condition. There is not one moment when the astronaut is alone in space.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Because, you know, it's like that's what our millions of guides are doing. Mm-hmm. They're like monitoring our every thought and guiding us.
Yeah.
Making us aware of what we're doing and how we're being and all that. And that's and then also sending us communication. That's part of it, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when the astronaut, go ahead. When he goes out of the spaceship, he's still tethered. Yeah. That tether.
All right. Yeah.
Tethered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if the astronaut forgets about that, all that support system, it can feel very alone out there in space.
The same is true of you. You are like an astronaut, yet you are unaware of all those who monitor your every move and are aware of your every thought. They are your guides and supporters, your inner self, and Source itself. You once believed that the conditions caused you to feel good or bad, but now you realize that it's a system of guidance. When you feel good, you're looking at your life in a way that is beneficial and aligns with who you are. That's how you know who you really are. When you feel negative emotion, it is the indication that you are looking at your life from a limited perspective, and this is not who you really are. It's really quite obvious. There are only two emotions, love and fear. When you are feeling good, you are aligned in love. When you are feeling bad, you are experiencing fear. Therefore, the authentic you is a being of love, and the inauthentic you is a being of fear. You, Alette, are love.
So when we're in alignment, when we're feeling good, that's who we really are, and that's how we can know what the authentic version of ourselves is. And then when other people are feeling good and having fun with you, that's who they really are. And then when other people are being moody or complaining or being rude, that's not who they are. That's just them being in fear. And when we're, you know, upset or worried, that's not who we really are. That's just us in fear.
Yeah. And when those other people are in those modes of being in fear or upset or whatever, it's okay to not pick it up. You know what I mean? It's like I always felt like I had to pick that up and help. Okay, how can I make you feel better? That's all controlling. I'm getting so much better at just like,
go
in the other room.
And the only reason you wanted them to feel better was so you could feel better.
Yeah.
Once you get that figured out, it's a lot easier to let them be upset.
I've been releasing self-judgment, but I've been in worry a lot lately. And so the last roundtable on the last Joshua Lives, after I was done talking, I was like, who is that? It just felt so not me, you know? So I like that the authentic you is feeling good. And like in fear, you're not. It's the inauthentic version of you because I definitely felt that.
Yeah. You can even recognize that other part, huh?
Yeah.
What you got, huh?
You know, I've had that sensation for many, 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 many years, and now I've realized that it's when I'm being inauthentic. I have a sensation of I'm inside my body looking out through the eye holes. It's just so weird. And it's like I've had this forever, and I could never figure out what it was. But now I think it's like when I'm not jiving. You know what I mean? It's like I have that disconnect, a slight disconnect.
Yeah, I can feel myself being a jerk. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't get out of this thing. I'm in this dark body. It's not me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn it,
Mark's never had that.
No.
No, I just had that 2 days ago.
Mark,
because I have
you're
to
like
do,
the nicest human what? Being on earth. I don't, ever. I can't even see you.
Ever. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. No, no, no. Just talk to my wife or... No, I just got like that 2 days ago, needing to do my taxes because of April, right? I need because I'm before our Vegas thing. I'm going to Mexico for like a week for a birthday thing.
Okay.
So I'm like, yeah, I know, and I'm making this a stress thing. So I'm like, I gotta finish my taxes. So I sit down two days ago, to do my taxes, and I knew usually like, okay, you know, align yourself. Feel good, tap out, like if you're feeling whatever. But tax time for me, I hate it. And instead of just cutting a line before I did it and setting my intentions, I just jumped in it. I just did my taxes. And I kind of grinded through it. And I, you know, I probably got sicker because I'm a little sick right now. And so, yeah, I just grinded it out. And it's not done. And I'm still kind of in a, I got to do my taxes mode, you know. Yeah.
Get to do your taxes.
That doesn't help right now. It's not helping. No, I gotta work on that. I gotta do some tapping on that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
This is all you will ever need to know. You are love. In love, you feel good. When you feel good, you are being who you really are. When you feel confident that things will work out, you are being the authentic version of you. When you have doubts, you are simply perceiving life in a way that does not align with who you really are. That's not a bad thing at all. It's part of the exploration. You are here to discover yourself. In feeling fear, you discover who you are not. In feeling good, you discover who you really are. You cannot know who you really are without knowing who you are not. And so the system of physical reality is a perfect environment for this exploration.
How about that one? That's probably the best paragraph ever, I think.
Yeah.
That's so feeling fear is part of self-discovery. Because in feeling fear, you discover who you are not. And the more we know who we are not, you know, the more we know who we are.
That's some clarity that I received over the last week, and not new knowledge, but it hit me again at a deeper level. Right. Like, oh, that's why I'm like experiencing these feelings of smallness and why it feels so bad is because it's so far from who I actually am.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like being the king and forgetting you're the king and living with the peasants and then having this feeling like, no, I'm not one of these people, you know? Yeah, this is not who I am. I'm the king. You know, there's something weird about this. I don't belong with these people.
Definitely the king, because those are his people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but
trying to tell us something. Sorry. What are you trying to tell us?
I don't believe. Like, I think of myself going back as a kid and living in the houses we lived in, which we lived in nice houses and nice neighborhoods, but they were never decorated, and it was all, you know, laminate countertops and carpet, you know, and I'd be like, how am I living in this? You know, we need to spruce this place up. You know, it's like, come on, Dad, let's get some new furniture in here. This is ridiculous.
So you were thinking, you know, king, like,
but like back in those days, you're like, oh, just like a normal house, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So who I am really is one who likes to live in a decorated house. In other words, I'm foo-foo. I'm a little foo-foo.
You're so deep. That's so deep. Wait a minute. Let me let that sink in.
Yeah.
House. Okay.
Oh, now I feel fear and doubt about who I am.
That's a t-shirt. Who I am. Yeah. There's someone who likes to live in a decorated house.
Yeah.
Or it's a
oh, yeah. I'm foo-foo and woo-woo.
Love and accepted.
Foo-foo, who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, like we went camping. I'm like, why are we doing this?
I know. I get that. I know. I know.
There's bugs.
Why am I lying on the floor in rocks, with rocks, you know, under me? Yeah.
That's funny.
So, you, by knowing who you're not, that's part of the discovery of knowing who you are.
Yes.
And so your whole life you're gonna experience who you're not.
Yes. And I had that this last time when the same manifestation event comes up with different clothes on. And it's like I get in that really intense emotional feeling like, oh, I, you know, just can't handle this. And then it reminds me exactly that, Gary, because, okay, why am I having such a strong emotional feeling about this? Because it's so far off from who I am.
Right.
And then I can bring myself back a little bit, like, okay, come on back over to this side and figure out a way to work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you know, there's a
something happens. Go ahead. And then you're being who you aren't.
Right.
And then instead of looking at why are you being who you're not, you're looking at this other thing and wishing it never happened.
Right. 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 I mean, they're going to some really dark, dark places about this stuff, you know? It's like, oh, my gosh. And it didn't just – and then the, like other Wendy, inner Wendy standing over here going, yoo-hoo, this way, over here. You know, come over back over here because I've just gone so far down that hole. I don't even know which way's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what might be helpful also is that, like, our life can go in patterns, right? It can go, like, if you think of a curve and curve. And then sometimes our life goes through huge growth. So the huge growth periods and, you know, like maybe when you're first discovering this Joshua stuff or you're first applying this stuff, you're in for a ride. But you could be in for a ride. But the good thing is you think of it, eventually it's gonna smooth out. It's going to smooth out and you're going to go – I guess, yeah, you're gonna be reaching that hill, and then eventually it's gonna smooth out, and you're gonna be flowing for a while, and it's not gonna be as hard. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you can just tell yourself, okay, this is the huge growth period right now, and it's, you know, I'm being hit one after another. Sometimes it feels like that, right? Mm-hmm. One after another, just keep getting knocked down, maybe, but it will smooth out. It will smooth out.
And then we'll get bored and we'll be like, I want another ship.
Exactly. Exactly.
What the hell is this without? What is without now?
Yeah.
All right.
You and all humans have a tendency to want things to be easy and to have everything figured out. You assume that when you figure it all out, you will feel good. Here we come to tell you to feel good without having to figure anything out. Have faith that things will work out, because in this environment of exploration, you cannot know how things will turn out. You cannot know your future. You do not want to know. If you knew, there would be nothing to explore.
Right? Like, who's exploring I-95 right now? You know? No one's exploring I-95 because it's already been explored.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to know. That's not an exploration. Driving a 95 is not an exploration. It's a way to get somewhere, but it's not an exploration. You came here to explore. You're exploring who you are and what it's like to live life as you, and you're the only one who can ever do it, and you'll never, in this entire life, from the time you're born to the time you die, you're on this discovery. And so I guess when you've figured it out, that's when you die.
Ew, don't say that.
That's another t-shirt. When you figure it out, that's when you die.
So don't try to figure it out. Just go along with your blindfolds on and don't la 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 la, can't hear you.
Guys, we're coming up with the shittiest t-shirts, man.
These will all be available on the website. I don't think that's a bad bumper sticker. When you figure it all out, that's when you die.
No, I've seen bumper stickers like some like life's hard then you die or something like that. I mean,
life sucks. No. Life sucks when you die. Yep.
Yeah. What was that? Matt Kahn's video on lifting the veil with the difference between the perspective and seeing. Do you remember who's talking about that?
I don't remember. I was just watching it the other day, but it was
something about how we all see things, and it's really just our perspective of what we're seeing. We could see, you know, destruction and think, okay, that out of destruction comes the phoenix rises or whatever, and then you see a beautiful butterfly, and I hate butterflies, you know? They're bugs, So, interesting concept.
I love this line from this last quote, this last paragraph. Here we come to tell you to feel good without having to figure anything out. That's pretty big right there.
Yeah, it is.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt.
New coffee mug. Can we get off the t-shirts and make some coffee mugs?
This is not related at all, but I heard you say Phoenix, and this is a quote that always makes me laugh from the show New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. The guy that's really metro, I forget his name, Schmitty. He's like, I mean, without ashes to rise from, a phoenix is just a bird getting up. So I want that t-shirt.
That's a good one,
too,
yeah. All right. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. You are an explorer. You are living in a world of billions, yet you are unique to all of them, to all who have ever come, and to all that will ever come. In that absolute fact, you might have faith that you are worthy to live any life you want, and conduct your exploration in a way that suits you, not anyone else. Yes, you have your societal rules and principles, but they do not always have to apply to you in every situation. This is your life and your reality. You are at the center of that reality. You are living life as you intended, and so is everyone else. You either live that life freely, openly, and in love, or in fear, and in each moment, you make that choice. Your inner self is simply making you aware of the choices you are making in each moment. With our love, we are Joshua.
Yeah. So all your inner self is doing is not saying you're being bad for the limited perspective or you're being good for the higher perspective. It's just saying that, hey, notice that you're making this choice here. Notice you're making this choice here. That's all your inner self is doing, pointing out which choice you're making.
Mm.
So you're openly living... Well, you're living in love or you're living in fear in each moment. And that is always a choice.
Yep.
That's the whole premise of these teachings or this topic today is that the conditions are neutral and how you choose to respond to them is your free will and your power as a human. And in choosing them, to perceive it in an empowering way, even though you can't know if that's true or not.
Right.
Right. You're saying, I'm going to choose to see it as a positive thing because I know that that's of benefit to me because it makes me feel better. And in feeling better, I have, the power. Or I can choose to see it as a negative thing. And in choosing to see it as negative, I'm trying to control that thing so it doesn't happen again. Because I feel fear and I want it to be different than it is.
Yeah. And what helps here is momentum and practice, right? So awareness. So if you kind of do it in the beginning and you practice like, okay, let me try to choose a better perspective. And then eventually it works out. Then the next time you can just look back and say, okay, choosing a better perspective, it helped. And so I can create momentum and then you practice that. So it's not like you're just jumping off a ledge and just say, okay, it's not like you're doing it out of total faith. You have a little bit more faith each time you do it.
Right.
Like, okay, this shit does work and it will get better.
Proof. You got a little more proof.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is really good on the little things, by the way, the big things, you're just going to react, but the little things, like someone's comment or someone not letting you out in traffic or someone honking at you, you can just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big things you can maybe freak out a little tiny bit less. All right. So that sounds to me to be the end of this amazing podcast. Does anyone have anything they want to say? Say it now or forever hold your peace.
Until next week.
Come to Vegas. Come to Vegas. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, still time, right? By the time this comes out, there'll still be a little time.
I don't know if there's any rooms left in Luxor. There was only 1,300 rooms there.
Yeah. Oh, we probably sold out, right?
You probably have to stay at Bellagio or something.
Yeah. Oh, my
walk
God.
Over. Yeah.
Walk over.
Other things, if anybody wants to join us on Facebook, we have the Friends of Joshua Facebook group. You can send us a message through the website, contact us, and we have a lot of fun in there. There's quotes and questions and people posting things about their experience with these teachings.
And a lot of
how do they
unicorns.
Find the website?
A lot about unicorns.
A lot about unicorns, yeah. What'd you say,
it's
Mike?
It's mostly a unicorn site.
How do they find the website?
Oh, teachingsofjoshua.com.
There you go.
All right. So,
look at us.
Thank you all in Sweden for listening.
That's so cool.
It's funny because there's Astrid is from Norway, and Ray Dunn is from Norway.
Yeah. And Alette is from Rotterdam.
Yeah, but two people from Norway, and nobody even listens to this podcast from Norway. But like a lot of people do from Sweden. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, in Norway, they speak Norwegian. That's what the problem is.
Well, don't they speak Swedish in Sweden?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding. There's a lot of probably American expats living in Sweden right now. Huh? What with Trump and everything.
I know those people are listening to us.
All right, you guys. This has been a lot of fun. No Joshua Live. I'm driving to North Carolina tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
How fun.
The hardwood floors are being done.
Nice. Yep. Are they real existing ones and you're refinishing? Nice.
From original.
Nice.
Me too. Okay, so you guys have a great week, and we'll see you again next Saturday here at the Roundtable.
Nice.
All right.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.